Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Your Majesty, thank you for your extraordinarily generous remarks, for the invitation you extended for our first state visit in Europe, and for the warm friendship that you've shown both Michelle and myself on both of our visits to Buckingham Palace. I must say, though, this dinner is a humbling reminder of the fleeting nature of presidencies and prime ministerships. Your Majesty's reign has spanned about a dozen of each, and counting. That makes you both a living witness to the power of our alliance and a chief source of its resilience.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to...
It was a bad day for me to begin with when I saw the imposter in England posing as president of the United States in front of a monarch who has been in power, in my opinion, for far too long. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I myself am an anti-royalist. Let me be very clear. I think that the idea of a king or a queen is antithetical to everything that the United States of America stands for. I believe the Queen of England ought to give up all of her property with the exception of one flat in London, in that she has never worked a day in her life. I absolutely agree with the Irish in terms of how they have been mistreated by the English. And I must tell you, my day got worse. It got worse as I watched Obama marching around England, putting on the airs after he rejected the bust of Churchill. When 2 minutes before the radio show, I received a letter from my attorney in London that I will not say devastated me, but it punched me in the stomach. It kicked me in the stomach as though I was kicked by a horse in a barn, where once again, the fraudulent government of England, the fake conservative government of David Cameron, has said, no, Michael Savage, we're not lifting the ban against you. We are going to continue to use Kafkaesque, Stalinesque methodologies to keep you from entering England while we protect convicted Muslim terrorists, while we shelter convicted Muslim terrorists, while we continue to give every benefit of the doubt to Muslims in England who would like to overthrow the government. I just received a letter minutes ago. It's posted on michaelsavage.com. The headline is UK refuses to lift ban against Savage. I must tell you that I'm alone in that. So far as I know, nobody in the world is going to help me on this. Now, you may say, well, too bad you got yourself into it. Get yourself out of it. I understand that. This has been going on for 3 years now. With the help of thousands of you, I have a legal fund, and I want to thank you for that. I've spent time and money and money and time and time and money, and you would think that a government that alleges to be a democracy would give me a fair hearing, but they ban me without a hearing. They ban me without a trial. They forbid me an appeal, and yet they shelter Muslim terrorists. The letter starts with this. It's from the TSOL. Government of Cameron in England, Treasury Solicitors Department, and it's addressed to my lawyer. Dear sir, your client, Michael Savage, you have asked that my client, that's his government, revokes the December 18th, 28 decision to exclude Savage from the UK. Your client, Savage, has been invited by the Birkenhead Society to participate in a debate at the National Liberal Club in London on a date yet to be confirmed. By the way, there's a little irony in that, which he wishes to accept. Savage has offered to make a number of undertakings as to his conduct while he is in the UK, including an undertaking that he will abide by the law and refrain from making comments that could be offensive to members of minority communities. Let me pause right here. He will refrain from making comments that could be offensive to members of minority communities. This is in England. In other words, if any minority, including a Muslim terrorist, says that anything I say about Osama bin Laden or such agitates them, that would be illegal. Savage has stated that it is not his intention to foster or promote inter-community hatred or violence. Three, you have repeated a number of allegations first made in the course of pre-action correspondence, in particular, that the allegations made against Savage were false, that his statements have been taken out of context and do not properly reflect the totality of his statements, that the statements viewed were no more than robust expressions of opinion, that it was inappropriate to exclude Michael Savage on the basis that this would provide balance. You have also restated that it is Savage's intention to publish a repudiatory statement on his website. Now, I'm going to read you some of it because you're not going to believe what's coming next. This is in the government of England in the year 2011, where they will not permit me to enter the country, but they permit Muslim murderers and terrorists to not be deported. They permit preachers who say we will overthrow England and introduce Sharia law to stay in England. But the only member of the American media ever banned from England, Michael Savage, is twisting in the wind, while none of my so-called friends in the conservative media have lifted a hand or said a word on my behalf. Five, you have further stated that your client Savage considers the SSHD, I don't know what that means. I know the words SS, the letters SS have a powerful meaning, has changed the requirements for repudiation. Do you understand any of this? Shall I read any of this? They say we do not see any inconsistency. I can't read this to you. I'm sick from reading it. But I'll read you one line. We see no evidence that Savage has modified his behavior. Did you hear this? This is England. We live in a country where sexual insanity is encouraged, where political anarchy is encouraged, where the political spectrum is covered in every way. Yet not one person has come forward in the United States of America from the left or the right of any power to help me. I did get a letter from Congressman Alan West. It went to Hillary Clinton. As you well know, I would expect nothing from Hillary Clinton. I am meeting with a U.S. senator on Thursday, senator now, who is going to try to appeal this decision. And so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, what I'd like you to do is go to michaelsavage.com and read the letter yourself. I'm too sick to read it. I can't read it to you because, frankly, I feel like a horse kicked me in the gut. Richard in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes, you're...
Yes, hello, doctor. I never read your book about banned from England, but I would like to know why specifically were you banned? What did you do?
Nothing. I did nothing. That's what I did. It turned out through Freedom of Information Act, we received emails after the fact, and in it, the then Prime Minister, the corrupt Brown administration, said that we need to put Savage on the list to balance out the list, in other words, to placate the Muslims in England.
Okay, all right, yes.
You see, in order to make the Muslim terrorists in England feel better, they decided to show that they're fair, so they banned a white male conservative from the United States of America from entering England. Does that explain it to you?
Yes, it does. What year was that?
2008. Oh. And I have been fighting it for 3 years without any luck. And we just got this letter this afternoon saying they refused to lift the ban. I am still banned from entering England. Do you think it's appropriate for Michael Savage, a member of the American media, to be banned from entering England?
Absolutely not. I think you should run for president, but I know you're not.
No, I would never, and I would never soil my reputation by running for that office. I would not. I mean, I consider myself an average human being, and I think you need to be a very special human being to run for the presidency. And I don't have the special characteristics necessary for that position. In that, I have to lie to everybody at all times, and I'm not capable of it. Thanks for the call. If you care to talk about it, okay, you can. If you'd rather I be a clown for you today, tell me what the hat you'd like me to wear. What hat would you like Michael Savage to wear? What horn would you like me to honk? What makeup would you like me to put on my nose? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand with me and raise your glasses as I propose a toast to Her Majesty the Queen.
Turn him off. I can't. It's sickening to listen to the fraud there. Now, the two of them, Cameron and him, are like peas in a pod. They're both fakers. They're both imposters. I want you to listen to what the Prime Minister of England, David Cameron, and Barack Obama had the audacity to write in the Times of London today. In a sternly worded column in the Times of London, the two leaders liken the effort to free Arab people from authoritarianism to the Cold War, and they liken their personal efforts to Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. I want you to listen to their words now. This is Barack Obama and Cameron. We will stand with those who want to bring light into dark, support those who seek freedom in place of repression, aid those laying the building blocks of democracy. I have never read more empty words. Apparently, the words don't apply to Michael Savage. I was banned from England by a degenerate, porno-watching, communist hack several years ago based upon outtakes that were sent to them by an American organization funded by George Soros and run by Americans who took my words out of context. And as a result, they said, you can't enter England. And they put my name on a list with murderers and terrorists who are not allowed to enter England. I'm the only member of the American media not allowed to enter England. Rush Limbaugh has never said one word about it because he is no different than Barack Obama. He's a showman. He's an entertainer. Sean Hannity is a clueless wall banger with a hammer. There's not anybody in the American media who has come to my aid that you would know of. Some have written a few things in the Washington Times, but you would expect the great Rush Limbaugh to have said something. You would expect Sean Hannity, because he's such a great American, to have said something. You would have expected the imposter, O'Reilly, or any of the other frauds on Fox News to have made this a news story. They have prostitutes on every other day. They have drug addicts on every other day. They have terrorists on every other day. But they don't cover the only member of the American media who is banned from England. Now, I've pointedly avoided talking about this for years, but I've been fighting it every day of my life for years. It's cost me an awful lot financially and emotionally and mentally. But I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just asking you to understand what a phony Cameron and Barack Obama really are. We will stand with those who want to bring light into dark, support those who seek freedom in place of repression, aid those laying the building blocks of democracy. Am I not a person? If you tickle me, do I not laugh? Why don't you read your Shakespeare, Mr. Cameron? Did you miss that when you were at Cambridge? So the letter is on michaelsavage.com. Many of you have contributed very, very kindly to the Savage Legal Fund. You can do so if you wish. I'm not making this as an appeal. I would find it embarrassing to do so because I'm not a politician. But to me, this is unbelievable to me that Obama and Cameron are meeting and comparing themselves like the frauds they are to Reagan and Thatcher. And then talking about democracy in the Arab world while denying me a trial even. Do you have any idea what I am going through? Do you have any idea that I am living? I am facing something for every American. Do you understand that? Do you understand I am your canary in a coal mine? Do you understand this? Most of you don't. Now you say, well, what the hell do you want to go to England for anyway? Well, first of all, that's not the point. I, as an American citizen, am entitled to freedom of travel. My government has every obligation to defend me in this. But since Hillary Clinton's fingerprints are all over this, when she was not Secretary of State, along with George Bush, along with the others in the fetid Stalinist group Media Matters, I am all alone on this because they got away with it. And if they can make Savage look like a terrorist, think of what they can do to you. If they could take a man with the third largest radio show in America and smear him and make him look like a murderer or a terrorist and ban him from England, think about what they can do to you or your wife or your child. Think about what they can do to you anytime they want with the power of the internet and the power of the lies and the power that they have in a government. So let me take your calls. I'll talk about it till it's out of my system. right now on the Savage Nation. We'll begin in Texas. Seth, welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Savage, you are a compassionate and tolerant person. The truth is, I got hooked on your show right after 9/11 because you had the gumption to read Khalil Gibran. Right after 9/11, you read Khalil Gibran to remind us that people across the world aren't inherently bad. We're just dealing with fascists in a certain segment. And I'll never forget that. And these people in Britain have obviously did not know that you were the only...
I can guarantee you that this guy Cameron has never read Khalil Gibran. Well, maybe he thinks Khalil Gibran owns a curry shop somewhere in London.
You know, it's beauty. And our souls are always...
Well, Seth, that's very nice of you to remember that. I think that my listeners know that that's true. But it's not a good moment for me. I hope I'm not bumming you out listening to the show right now, because I feel as though a mule kicked me in a stable. Really, I got kicked in the guts. This was a minute before the show. It came to me from my lawyer in England. I never expected it. It's not just that the ban was upheld. It's the evil in the letter. You can't believe some of the words in the letter. You cannot believe the Kafkaesque element of this letter. They talk about modified behavior. They talk about how I have to modify my behavior. They talk about things that you would have seen in Stalinist Russia. You cannot believe this is coming from England, while our fraudulent president is there dining on fatty, artery clogging food, and his wife, who always lectures you about eating carrots, is eating like a pig. Once again, the hypocrisy is overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Michael in Salt Lake City, you'll be next up. Fire away on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I would wear it like a badge of honor. It may be easy for me to say because I'm not emotionally involved like you are, but wear it like a badge of honor.
Let me explain something. I have spent my life building up a reputation for myself. These people have smeared it, and I am going to fight until I have no breath left in me. I'm going to clear my name. It's as though I've been accused of murder myself. I am going to clear my name.
Savage.
It also reminds us that your country twice came to the rescue of the free and democratic world when it was facing military disaster. On each occasion, after the end of those destructive wars, the generosity...
Turn it off. I don't want to listen to this. I'm sick of it. Okay, I'm sick of it. I'm not an Anglophile. Let me put it to you that way. And to see that Cameron of England and Obama are comparing themselves to Reagan and Thatcher and mumbling about the Arab Spring and democracy when they themselves are denying me a hearing, a trial. Don't say they don't know about it. They know about it. My lawyer went all the way up to the highest level in England, got knocked down by Gordon Brown, the last prime minister. I've appealed to Hillary Clinton, who has thrown the letters in the garbage since she consorts only with the devil. Let me read you something, and I'll show you why it's worth your listening to me today. This was written 2 years ago by Barbara Anderson when they came for Savage. Let me explain something to you. I have been found guilty of a thought crime. You remember reading in college Orwell? And you say, oh, well, that's terrible. Boy, a country can't find the man guilty for what he thinks or what he says. I mean, we have freedom of speech, don't we? Well, do we? Can we? Well, I've been found guilty of a thought crime. Barbara Anderson wrote, a representative of the British government has banned Michael Savage from that country. Savage has been listed among such real haters as a Hezbollah terrorist, a leader of Hamas, white supremacist, former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard, and Russian skinheads now in prison for murdering immigrants. This is a hateful, murderous lot. And on this blacklist by Home Secretary Jackie Smith, in an in-your-face announcement, Smith has added Michael Savage. Since there are no crimes committed by Savage, it can only be surmised that he appears there because he is deemed hateful and may stir up feelings of hate and incitement to violence. Savage often yells at those he thinks are steering us into socialism or worse. He sometimes is strident. He is articulate and makes his case. There have been callers who would like to go farther than that, but Savage has carefully drawn that line beyond which he will not go. He will not call for violence, nor will he stand for callers who would like to do so. His is a war of words, nothing more. Now that we live in a new world order, globalism reigns supreme. What is happening overseas has more importance than ever, she wrote. However, Instead of being able to count on traditional allies, we find the government of Britain colluding with a push toward punishing so-called hate crimes. Canada has already succumbed to this push, stifling religious opinions that do not toe their particular line. The European Union has become almost monolithic. Britain's representatives have betrayed the common man in forcing this union. It is largely hated because the citizens have little input as to how they will be governed. However, the elites that run the country have learned well how to leverage a small amount of power. It is the same all over the EU to a large extent. The EU, having the blueprint and having had time to iron out the problems, stands ready to help implement our own union, the North American Union. Our grand plan is to merge Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. into the North American Union. Connecting the dots, we can see that our own domestic hate legislation is being pushed along even now. The Democrats have always wanted it. Now they think they're in a position to ram it through. The victims, the beneficiaries of this legislation, were chosen based on actual or perceived sexual orientation, gender identity. And she goes on. It's an amazing article. It's an amazing article by Barbara Anderson when they came for Savage. Basically, you have to understand something. This is an international effort, and I have been chosen to pay for your sins. She concludes by saying this. A wise man said that those with politics, there are no... A wise man said that with politics, there are no coincidences. Accusing hatred of those who just want to give an opinion comes right back to Michael Savage. Since we are all citizens of the world, according to some, the global is zero in on those who speak against them. One of the loudest speaking against the New World Order is Savage. To take him on calls for certain chutzpah, unless you know that your allies are very strong. I think that Smith knew of Savage and has been egged on by the globalists in the USA. Usually the modus operandi is to whittle away at some of the weaker structures until the opposition falls. With Savage, Smith has taken on the top. It is a gamble. And guess what? They won. You know why? Because Rush did not say one word. The globalists have won. They came for Savage, and Rush continued to lie to you about how much he cared about freedom. I'm blaming Rush because Rush Limbaugh has the power to have changed the course of human events with regard to Michael Savage. But he's known to be a thin-skinned, jealous little man who cannot stomach any real competition. And so he would rather sacrifice his principles, if he has any, to his ego and his greed. Not unlike Obama, not unlike Cameron, not unlike any other politician. Fox News, prostitutes, pimps, terrorists, degenerates of every kind make a regular appearance on that circus of Fox News. They have never, ever had Michael Savage on to present his case. And that's why I have enmity towards the American conservative media. Do you understand what I'm going through? Now you say, all right, heard enough about it. I'm not interested in it. Tell us some jokes. Tell us about your father's antique store. Tell us how you threw up from yesterday's lunch. I don't know that I want to do that right now. You have an option. You can tune into some fraud talking about nothing, about Obama, how bad he is. You want me to read you what my monologue was for today in the middle of all of this? I'll do that. I'll do that. Just remember this. The United States broke free of England and created a nation because England then was exactly like England now. It is an oppressive, authoritarian nation. Make no mistake about it. The cleaner their underwear, the dirtier the soul. The finer the manners, the filthier the mind. Just remember that. I've met men with dirty fingernails who are mechanics who have more pristine souls than these clean underwear types in England. I've met men who are welders and mechanics and carpenters, etc. Do I have to finish the analogy? Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. New York, WORJ, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, thanks a lot for taking my call. Excellent. Listen, I want to say this. They didn't win because it's not over yet. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for coming from your heart and soul. And you may feel like you got kicked in the stomach, but don't feel it, because there's going to be a lot of kicking back. Remember what you always say. I've heard you say many times, God sees all but waits. And the truth is, America loves an underdog. America will get behind this because the battle is not yours. It's really against all of us, like you pointed out.
It's against freedom. It's against democracy. It's against individualism. It's against freedom of speech, freedom of thought. And here I am twisting in the wind alone. Congressman West wrote a great letter, And I'm meeting on Thursday by telephone with a senator, a U.S. senator, who is going to try to get a petition going in the Senate the way they did for Ramos and Campion. Remember the falsely accused Border Patrol agents, who what it took to get them off the hook and get them out of jail? He is going to try to get a petition to get my name off that vile list.
Well, that's...
You know, but let me say this, Jay. Even if I am exonerated, do you understand that the cost will have been magnificent beyond comprehension? I mean, really... This has been weighing on me. My children say to me, my son in particular says, Dad, why do you let it bother you? People in my family say, don't let it bother you. They don't understand what it means to be banned from a country, to be so unfairly linked with real murderers and terrorists. So at the risk of your displeasure here on the Savage Nation, I want to read you now in the midst of this. If you want to talk about this or you want to call, you can go to my website and sign the petition. I have 85,000 people who've signed it, asking for my name to be lifted. I'm going to give it to the senator on Thursday. If you care to join that list, please go. It's free. You want to donate, you can do that. Go to the website. But I want to talk about the fraudulent president, and it's called the devil's bargain. And I wrote this. Last week, Obama gave a speech in which he stabbed Israel in the back. He said that Israel must go back to its 67 borders. But let's give him the benefit of doubt. Maybe he meant 67 A.D., You see, of course, at that time, the Jews were under the control of the Roman Empire. Maybe that's what Obama has in mind for Israel, this time as well. Except now Israel be under the control of Hamas. Or maybe he did mean 1967. In 1967, while Israel was fighting for its very life as a nation in the Six-Day War, communists and drug addicts were gathering in San Francisco for the Summer of Love. In 1967, an 18-year-old named Benjamin Netanyahu joined the Israeli army, while Barack Obama's future role models were smoking dope in Haight-Ashbury. While Netanyahu was joining the IDF, Obama's mentors were taking LSD. Today, Obama himself may not be taking drugs, but his policies look like they were written by someone who was. He is asking Israel to commit national suicide. Even the left-wing Harry Reid is attacking Obama for this move. As a smart politician, Reid realizes the insanity inherent in asking your only ally in the Middle East to surrender to those who want to destroy it. I'm not going to read the rest of this. I'll do it later because my mind is still on the England ban. I want to say this. I appealed to every major Jewish organization in the United States of America and got a dead letter box. I appealed to the loudest voices who scream Holocaust at every turn. I wrote to Rabbi Chaya. I wrote to everyone at the ADL, every one of the political and professional Jewish groups who scream about the Holocaust every time Israel is mentioned, refused to lift the finger for Michael Savage. Did you hear what I said? Not one Jewish group came to my aid. Not one. And I wrote back to some of them and I said, Dear Rabbi X, this is how the Holocaust occurred in Germany. I can see it. Above the survival of their own standard, they themselves are the problem. They're not the solution. Not one of them has intervened on Michael Savage's behalf. Not one Israeli governmental official has ever intervened on my behalf, no matter what I've done on behalf of Israel. Not one Israeli diplomat has intervened on my behalf. I've had no help from anybody. So you say, boo-hoo, I really care about you. You know, what do I care about you? I'm trying to explain something to you. Yes, it's about me. But yes, it's about you. If they can ban me for no reason at all, then they can ban you for no reason at all. And if they can get away with this dastardly act, think of what they can do to you tomorrow. Florida, Nick, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I just wanted to call you and give you my support. I signed your petition a long time ago. And I just want to say keep hanging in there. And it's just a great example of how much better our country is than all these garbage European countries who don't value freedom of speech.
No, but listen to how Obama and Cameron compared themselves today to Reagan and Thatcher, and they're worried about democracy in Libya. Can you believe that? How about democracy here? How about starting your double talk with Michael Savage? What democracy in Libya or Egypt? Okay, Sacramento Richard, you're up on the Savage Nation. Let's go through the callers.
Hello.
Richard, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Michael, this is Richard from Mount Auburn, California. I'm a Korean veteran. I'm 80 years old. And they didn't get to call me. I enlisted in the service. And I share your dilemma.
Well, I understand there are good people out there who hear what I'm screaming from my guts, because this is so unfair, it's unbelievable. I feel like Billy Budd hung by the yard on. They put the noose over my neck, and I didn't do anything. And I'm asking people to help me, and no one wants to help.
The people in England that left England long ago, that's the reason why they left, too, because they seen something was wrong over there. The movie in Los Angeles about the Peapods, when the people became something else from a Peapod, they took over
Oh, you mean the invasion of the body snatchers, how a few socialist laborites were able to steal the country out from under the people's feet and turn it over to the European Union socialists, nay, fascists. Thank you for the call. Sacramento, Norman, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, on this ban in Britain issue, I think the crux of the American government not helping you is because when you were fighting CAIR and raising all that money, you said any leftover money you had you were going to use to start a new political party. Within a couple of months before the CAIR thing was settled as best it could be, they banned you in Britain, and now you're spending all your money and energy fighting this ban in Britain stuff. They didn't start a new political party, thus they...
Oh, my God. So you think that there was a collusion between the Bush Republicans, the Clinton Democrats, to keep me from starting a new party?
Absolutely.
Wow.
For a year and a half, but it's hard to get through.
Oh, my God. You know something? As smart as I think I am about what went on, you gave it a whole new twist. I forgot the connection. I remember I was going to start the Nationalist Party. Remember that? I distinctly remember that.
That's right.
But instead, for 3 years, I've been spinning my wheels fighting this ban, and they keep coming up with new double talk about why they're right and why I'm wrong.
They distracted you
Well, of course they distracted me. I understand that. Well, how do you like that? Norman, that is brilliant. Very interesting. Florida, Martin, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, hi. You know, no one's backing you, like, on Fox or anyone, because, you know, we're having literally a British invasion as we speak here in America, and welcome to. I mean, every time you turn the TV on, there's some Brit telling us how to cook, decorate our house, you know, sleep, eat.
Yeah, I noticed they have some sleazeball on CNN who nobody watches. Then they have some MSNBC with a little kindly voice, Martin Bashir, who thinks he's Mr. Politeness. He must have ratings lower than a kindergarten class during a flu season. I mean, what is with all of these Britishers on television?
Right. We have a British invasion here in America. I mean, every channel, they're everywhere. You can't get away from them. They're on every single cable network.
It's very interesting, and yet they have no appeal whatsoever. They have no ratings. What is that all about? Because they're international, I understand. The channels, these networks, rather, are international. They're broadcast around the world, and we're just one market. And they assume that the British accent is somehow classier and more appealing to the third worlders. I guess that's what it must be. Somehow the phony, polite, backstabbing Brit voice is somehow more appealing to a listener in Nairobi than it is an American voice that speaks reality. Kansas City, Bill, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I just want to say, first of all, how appreciative of I am of everything that you've done personally for me. I just wanted you to know that I'm behind you 100% because you've done something for me that no one's been able to do for me before, and that's teach me and elevate the way I think about things. I wanted to make a comment that I think that God has a plan for you. And that
oh, God.
I'm not sure.
I'm afraid of what the plan is. What do you suspect the plan is?
I think something in the line of being an example. Maybe he didn't want you to go to Britain. Maybe something terrible would have happened to you there if, perchance, you might have gone there. I think that he has an overarching plan that involves you in some way. I think that you're a very attuned person to, I guess his spirit and how things are happening and over the world.
Hold on. I really want to hear you because I've actually thought about that. I actually believe all things happen for a reason and God's hand is behind everything on a major scale. And I've often thought if God did not want me to go into politics, and this was the way to kick me into politics, to force me into politics, to force me to run around the phonies like Polenti and the other fakers who are going to come along in order to get on the mat for Obama. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. United Kingdom just refused to lift the ban against Michael Savage. Michael Savage is me. I'm on a list with murderers and terrorists. I am not allowed to enter the land of Obama's ancestors. I cannot enter his homeland. I don't know. I may be able to enter Indonesia. I'm not sure. Perhaps I can even enter Kenya, but I cannot enter the United Kingdom. Wisconsin Dave, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I think the fact that you're upset shows that you're a genuine person with, you know, real principles, which is why your show is part of the quality of life for those who choose freedom over tyranny. You know, while England may no longer have the choice, we're still able to voice our opinions. When it comes down to it, I think your struggle is between, you know, good and evil. You're up against people following Alinsky tactics that try to wear you out. And everybody knows Alinsky dedicated his book to the original radical, you know, which is Satan. I guess another opinion I had was you were talking about doing the a TV show appearance. Personally, I would find that distracting. I like the radio.
Yeah, but the fact is that Fox News, which purports to be a conservative outlet, has a slew of clowns on, drug addicts, pimps, prostitutes, terrorists, and they never covered the ban of a member of the American media. How do you explain that?
Well,
I can explain it. 19% of News Corporation is owned by a Saudi prince. Let me repeat that. 19% of the stock of the News Corporation, which owns Fox News, is owned by a Saudi prince. 19% of Fox News is owned by a Saudi prince, which means that O'Reilly, Hannity, and the others on Fox News are marionettes of the Saudi government. Not direct marionettes, of course, but there are certain things they're not allowed to say or do. Does that explain it to you?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All right, welcome to the Savage Nation. So let me start with a long, rambling monologue that'll come straight from the heart that has not been written. A couple of years ago, Michael Savage woke up and he read on the Drudge Report, who no longer covers anything to do with Michael Savage, owing to his connections to Fox News and his friends on the other stations. And it said radio host Michael Savage banned from the UK for extreme views. I said, I can't believe this. And I joked about it on my show that morning when I said, well, my first thought was, God, there goes the dental care I was going to get this summer in England. And then, darn, there goes the food tour of England that I was looking forward to this August. I tried the Mark Twain approach, figuring this was a mistake, and figuring before long they would realize they made a mistake and they would take my name off the list. Because remember, I was lumped in with neo-Nazi and terrorist murderers simply because I espoused an unfashionable position on my radio show on many occasions. Moreover, the Home Office under the porno-watching Jackie Smith wrote that, quote, I was seeking to provoke others to serious criminal acts and fostering hatred, which might lead to inter-community violence, close quote. Now, of course, that was a total lie. I have never provoked violence. I wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes on the radio. Remember, I've been on this radio show on talk radio for 16, 17 years. Had I ever provoked violence, I would have lost my affiliates a long time ago. I'm extremely passionate. I don't wear my heart on my sleeve. I don't give you saccharine opinions. I don't lie to you. I can tongue lash listeners I disagree with, but that's the American way. Nevertheless, you must understand something. Inflammatory rhetoric is used by commentators of all stripes. Inflammatory rhetoric is the heart and soul of democracy. Why do you think we have freedom of speech? Speech that is polite is not necessarily sincere speech. nor is inflammatory speech necessarily truthful speech. Nevertheless, it is inflammatory rhetoric that permits us to express our opinions. That's the heart and soul of a democracy. I've tried to say that over and over again. And so I have been railroaded while they shelter Muslim terrorists. So for 3 years, I've been fighting to get my name off the list. A few minutes before the show began tonight, I received a devastating letter that my attorneys in England forwarded, in which they said that the ban has been upheld. They will not even hear you. They refuse to take your name off the list of murderers and terrorists. Now, this is after hundreds of thousands of dollars and tens of, I don't know, hundreds of hours of worry, coupled with other legal battles I'm involved in to do with my radio career. And now it's leading to what I'm about to say to you. I lay awake at night and I often say to myself, I'm of a certain age. I've been in radio for 16, 17 years. I've had one best-selling book after another. I have a very large radio audience of people who are really able to speak and articulate and passionately express my opinions. Is this really all I want to do? Is this really what I want to do? On a suit and go out and raise money and become a U.S. senator, I say to myself. And you know, I've said to you over and over and over again, I have no desire to enter politics. I'm a very reclusive person. I have no friends whatsoever. I consider nobody my friend. I found out that friends are for children. When you're a child, you have friends in a play box. When you're an adult, what you have is yourself, if you're lucky. A wife, if you're lucky. Children who speak to you, if you're lucky. And a dog who will let you into their life, if you're a decent person. Other than that, you know, people here and there, but none of them are your friends. At the end of the day, it's all self-interest. In a capitalist society such as ours, there is no such thing as friendship. Everything is in self-interest. So, I mean, I understand that. And I'm not looking for any new friends at my age. But what I am looking for is, what am I on this earth for? Why did fate have me banned in England? Unto itself, it means nothing. Oh, I'm going to go there for fish and chips and to see people with buck teeth, to see Kennedy's ancestors. What am I going there for? And that's true. I've loved the architecture of England. It's true that one of my most important plant collections are in the Kew Gardens of England, a very important medicinal plant collection that would be worth millions of dollars if it was ever removed and sold, by the way. I spent years in the jungles of the South Seas collecting medicinal plants. Long before Al Gore could get a D in natural science, I was actually doing PhD work in the sciences. And so one of my, you know, medicinal plant collections is in the Kew Gardens of England, which I'm not allowed to even visit. Can you imagine that they shelter Muslim terrorists who say death to the queen, Sharia law, and they give me not even an opportunity to defend myself? So I say to myself, well, what does it mean? Why did fate do it to me? It's not cancer. It's not a heart attack. It's not muscular dystrophy. It's not death. It's not falsely accused of a crime in America where you're behind bars for 15 years for a crime you didn't commit. So on the face of it, what's the big deal that you can't go to England? The big deal is this. The big deal is this. I'm a man of ideas. After all, I didn't become a best-selling author and a best-selling broadcaster because I don't have any ideas that are popular. My ideas are very well-received. So I'm a man of ideas. So now I'm condemned for my ideas. Therefore, I'm condemned for what I think and what I say. Therefore, the core of my Americanism has been offended. And my government will do nothing to help me because they were in cahoots with the government of England to ban me. And they did so specifically to make certain that I didn't rally you, because I told you that it's a two-party scam. I told you that it's Democrats and Republicans. I told you that both parties are fraudulent. I told you long before others who declared themselves to be independents, I told you the system was rigged. I told you it's like two-card Monty, only there's no P under the shell. I've been telling you this for 15 years. I told you I woke up one day and realized it's either Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi and I want orange juice. I don't want the Diet Coke party called Democrats, and I don't want the Diet Pepsi party called Republicans. I'll take fresh squeezed orange juice. Where is it? Thank you very much. It doesn't exist in the political system. And I've been saying that for years. And so George Bush, the fraudulent Republican who expanded government beyond that of four previous administrations despite the fact that you idiots continued to think he was so wonderful because he walked around with a Bible and stumbled and mumbled his way through the presidency, and he had a Stepford wife who continued to uphold the lie. George Bush colluded with the Clintons and used the hit group Media Matters, in my estimation, to have me banned in England because they don't want anybody of independent mind to create a third party and to run for office and really shake up the system. Now, you do have people who pretend to do so. There are a few out there, but they're not the real inflammatory third party type who could really get 30 million people to vote for them. You know what I'm saying? You've got people out there who are not in the party, but look what just happened to Donald Trump because he didn't listen to me. Remember that. I told Donald Trump months ago to stop with the Bertha thing. I met him in Florida. We liked each other, and I started sending him emails when I saw him going on and on and on about the Bertha thing. And I read that one of his chief advisors was a Democrat supporter of Obama and Dukakis. I said, Donald, stop the Bertha thing. You're going to get slammed by it. Stop it. It's one topic of many. But he didn't. He made it his principal campaign tool. And look what they just did to him. Look how they destroyed a truly independent who could have shaken up the system. He cannot run again. He has no chance whatsoever. The Obama machine just neutralized him. I should say the Dem Republican machine just neutralized him. And so who do we have on the Republican side? You've got nobody that can win. You know that and I know that. We have no interest in any of them. I'm telling you like I see it. There's no real interest in anybody on the Republican side because none of them are really independent conservatives. None of them espouse truly American issues or values. None of them will take on the Hispanic lobby. None of them will take on La Raza. None of them will take on any of the really important issues that are affecting the heartland of America. It's more Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi. And since it's no choice, we'll continue with what we have, which is, Diet Coke or whatever you want to call them. Call them Diet Pepsi. Incidentally, I drink Diet Coke. I don't drink Diet Pepsi. It's only an analogy. I do drink fresh or squeezed orange juice when I could find it. So it gets back to the bigger question. Why do I give a damn and why should I fight this? But more than that, why am I spinning my wheels? What should I do with myself? You want me to run? You want me to start a third party now? It ain't going to happen. It'll get nowhere. You want me to run for the U.S. Senate here in California? Can't win. It's owned by the machine. It's owned by the fraudulent Dianne Feinstein, the evil Barbara Boxer. So I'd have to move to another state, a smaller state, and run for the U.S. Senate. I'm not going to do it because I'm not a politician. I'm a reclusive man. I have no friends. I prefer the company of my own mind, my own books, my own television shows, my own news, my own boat, my own water, my own birds and bees. I'd rather be left alone. I don't want to be in politics. So what does this mean? Is it a message from fate, from God, to walk away from the public theater? Savage. It is the Savage Nation as Obama meets with the other fraud in England, Cameron, the fake conservative who finagled his way into office the same way Obama did. These are all New World Order frauds. All of them are third way fakers. They're talking about the Arab Spring and how they're not going to rest until there is democracy in the Arab world. And here today, I just got a letter from England saying you're banned. You can't enter the country. We're not going to let you into the country. You're listed with murderers, terrorists, real murderers and real terrorists. So we're talking about that. Now, I want to do something of interest to you. I have a 2.5-minute interview that I did with the British Broadcasting Corporation when this first happened, in describing my shock at being banned in Britain and continuing with BBC asking questions. It brings it to a much broader place than my personal situation. Listen.
I was shocked, angered. How in the world could I be linked with known murderers, people who have been put in prison for years for killing people, people who espouse the overthrow of your government, openly, when I am simply speaking, talking for 15 years on the radio, writing best-selling books? It was shocking to believe this is coming out of England, a country I've always loved and admired, specifically for its freedoms.
Of course, the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, has said that the reason you were banned is because the things that you say foment hatred. engaging people in spreading hatred as well. What do you say to the reasons behind the ban?
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. There are millions of people who agree with me, not only in America, but around the world. Now, you can take sound bites from an individual and turn them into anything you want. But if you actually listen to what I said about these things, it might be a different individual that you're hearing. I don't know which show Jackie heard or when she heard it, but I'm not broadcast in England. So obviously she was given some selected sound bites by individuals who detest my points of view and are trying to skewer me. That's not freedom of speech, nor is that fair. But that's not the issue. The issue is that in America, the First Amendment was written to protect offensive speech. We don't need a First Amendment to protect polite speech, do we? I mean, everyone engages in polite speech. What do we need protections for? It's speech which provokes thought that is considered offensive and hateful by those who disagree with you, isn't it? And so, therefore, it's only speech we're talking about, not the acts of murderers. And to lump me in with murderers is defaming me. It's libeling me.
So what are you going to do about it? You said on your show you're going to sue?
We have six or seven attorneys in London who are very anxious to take my position to Parliament. But I don't want to have to go there. She made a mistake. She was not given the full picture of Michael Savage. I suggest that she reconsider, remove my name, send a letter of apology, and I'll rapidly consider dropping the, number one, the libel suit. Number two, the call for a travel ban by my listeners. I don't want to have to do this, but I have 8 to 10 million loyal listeners. If I say, folks, don't go to England, don't buy British goods, don't buy the Jaguar, don't buy the pint, let's see what happens.
And is that something you're prepared to do?
I will do what's necessary. I will do what's necessary to defend my name and reputation. I spent my entire life building a good name and reputation. I will not have it dragged through the mud by this lunatic.
Savage. I want to remind you what happened. Shortly after my being banned in England, they threw Jackie Smith out of office. Did you know that? And suddenly they smeared her. So the machine that used this very foolish, stupid, backwoods provincial woman smeared her with overbilling the nation of England and using pornography, and they got rid of her. After she was a useful idiot of the New World Order, they threw her out of office. And then we heard there was an election coming up, and we heard that a conservative under Cameron might win. We appealed to them, and they assured us, by the way, before the election, Cameron's incoming home secretary, the so-called incoming home secretary at the time, said, he told my lawyer at a dinner, I'm assuring you that once we're in office, we'll take his name off the list. The minute they got into office, they refused to remove my name from the list. So as you could see, it doesn't matter what government's in power. They're all about the same. It's the same here and it's the same there. It doesn't matter whether it's Obama or someone on the Republican side of a check stripe pant variety. They're all the same. They're taking orders from somebody else. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Sacramento, Dan, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Michael. My theory is that they banned you because they're banning a large segment of America. You know, there's a large segment of America they hate, all the psycho lefties over there. I travel to Britain quite a bit, and, you know, there's a lot of them I love, but there's a lot of weird people that have taken over that country that are banning.
It's a very small group of internationalists who dragged England into the European Union against the will of the people without a vote, who destroyed the entire integrity of England, that are telling people, you can't say a word against Muslim terrorists. You can't say a word against the EU, or we'll ban you from your own country. That's the land of the Magna Carta? Well, I have fantasized about bringing 5,000 people to the border of England in the Republic of Ireland and holding a rally on the border of England and embarrassing the Cameron government. I have not done it. We have not yet applied to the government of Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, although I may do so. I'm enmeshed in other legal problems right now that are dragging me down. When I'm victorious in that on that front, and it will be very shortly that I'll be victorious, and I am clear on that, I will possibly ask you to join me on a trip to Ireland, okay? And we'll enjoy a pint together in Obama's hometown.
Savage.
It's the left-wing hate machine spinning out of control from England and around the world. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I want to go back in time with you, please, because it's a broader issue here. Back in 2007, the radio industry awarded me the Freedom of Speech Award, and I gave a speech for them on freedom of speech and what it means. And it was shortly after that speech, I guess it was not shortly, somewhat after that speech on what freedom of speech really means. And I probably articulated what freedom of speech means perhaps as well as anybody, if not better than some, which you're about to hear. It's a very short speech, but a very important one. I think I articulated as well as anybody, better than some. Shortly after that, England banned me from entering their fair nation, the land of the Magna Carta, the land of freedom of speech. Listen to this speech, freedom of speech, at the Talkers Convention, 2007. Radio is in a more perilous state today than it's been in its entire history. And that is because in South America, we have the dictator Hugo Chavez closing down an opposition TV station. Well, you say, well, that can't happen here. It can't happen here. As I speak with you, it is happening here. Congressman Hinchey of New York State, Fazio of Oregon, and others are circulating a bill in Congress for the so-called fairness doctrine. What it means is people as such as Michael Savage will no longer be able to speak freely. Is that any different than Chavez closing down a TV station? Is that not dictatorship, the fairness doctrine? Of course it is. It's just that we use fancy rhetoric in this country as opposed to police power. But make no mistake about it. The fairness doctrine is censorship, and it has no place in the United States of America. Now, let me give you some examples, if I may, about the power of freedom of speech and talk radio. Al Gore, for example, in my opinion, lies when he preaches that all scientists now agree that global warming is caused by human activity. If I refute Gore's lies on the airwaves by quoting numerous prominent scientists who refute Gore's hysterical con, I am using freedom of speech granted to us by the United States Constitution to do so. If radical environmental folks were to make it a crime to deny global warming, you've heard that. They say they want to make it a crime to deny global warming. Such refutations as mine and those of prominent scientists would be banished from the discussion. Yeah. By the way, I'm reading my own script. I wrote this in Los Angeles. I don't have a teleprompter. That's freedom of speech. I remember the 1960s when true liberals used to say, I may disagree with you, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. When have you last heard a liberal say, oh, I may disagree with conservative talk radio, but I would fight to the death their right to say what they believe in? I don't hear that anymore. What instead I hear is their threats to national security. That was stated on the congressional floor by Congressman Hinchey. He says, I'm a threat to national security, and he's trying to pass the so-called fairness doctrine to close down freedom of speech. Is that liberalism? Liberals used to say, I may disagree with you, Michael Savage, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. That's what this country has been about from the day it was founded. That's the trail of tears and the trail of blood that led to the freedoms that we enjoy in this country today. And we cannot permit a few small-minded martinets who don't even know that they're inhabiting the souls of dictatorships in Congress right now to deny us our freedom of speech. Where are the true good liberals?
I want to define satire, ridicule, and sarcasm for those of you who love talk radio. Satire is the use of irony, sarcasm, ridicule, or the like in exposing, denouncing, or deriding vice, folly, etc. What is ridicule? We use it on talk radio all the time if we know how. It is speech or action intended to cause contemptuous laughter at a person or thing. Derision. Derision, my friends, is ridicule. That's part of freedom of speech. And finally, sarcasm should be used all the time if you know how to do it. What is sarcasm? Harsh or bitter derision or irony. A sharply ironical taunt, sneering or cutting remark, a review full of sarcasms. That's freedom of speech, my friends.
When I offend doctrinaire knee-jerk Republicans, yes, I don't limit my criticism to the Democrats or the liberals. When I offend doctrinaire knee-jerk Republicans by pointing out that there are now more contractors than U.S. soldiers in Iraq, whose freedoms am I denying? The freedoms of the military-industrial complex to rob the public? The freedoms of the warmongers who refuse to either win definitively or leave? Eisenhower warned us, beware the military-industrial complex. I've played that on my show over and over again. Who am I criticizing, Democrats or Republicans? I'll let you decide. When I state that our Army and Marine heroes are being sent in to fight door to door and suffer and die, and then be given court-martials if they do their job a little too well, because Bush is either the most, I don't know, hesitant or incompetent commander-in-chief in the United States history, whose freedoms am I denying? President Bush said he will not have politicians telling our generals how to conduct the war. Well, I wonder, is he not a politician telling generals how to conduct the war? No war has ever been conducted like this. And what I call illegal aliens, invaders, who must be forced to deport themselves, and I present the social and fiscal drain of this invading army of illegal aliens, whose freedoms am I denying? Who am I offending? The doctrinaire knee-jerk Republicans or the Democrats? Probably both. When I, Michael Savage, support my position for borders, language, and culture, do I deny my fellow citizens their rights to redress their grievances to a government all too eager to continue to flood our nation with cheap laborers? When I present the fact that 30% or one of three prisoners in federal lockups is an illegal alien who doesn't belong here to begin with, do I deny or do I grant my fellow U.S. citizens their right to speak freely through me, a talk show host? When I detail the epidemic of drunk driving and vehicular homicides being inflicted on this country by brazen illegal aliens who are deported only to return and drive drunk again, drive and kill again, I surely do not deny my fellow Americans their freedom of speech or their right to redress their grievances, do I? So whose rights am I offending? Certain special interests, I would assume. Well, that's not my problem. If these and other like opinions of mine were mine alone, I would not have risen to this position I now enjoy in the world of the spoken and written word. In fact, I am the voice of the voiceless, who have been marginalized and silenced by the illiberal liberals who control virtually all avenues of images and ideas that the world sees. All the images and ideas, with the limited exception of conservative talk radio, the most vulnerable medium, now under attack by the new National Socialists, who would ban free speech that they disagree with by threatening corporate sponsors through extortionist means of false boycotts, using different techniques, but wanting to achieve the same ends as all dictatorships, such as Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. That is total control of speech, which is the opposite of freedom of speech. In conclusion, I would like to introduce you to the most important critic that I have ever had. And his name is Teddy. Teddy, of course, is my constant companion. And just as in the RCA ad, I am not his master's voice, but I think he is my master's voice. Teddy, the most famous dog in American talk radio, possibly challenged only by Barney, the presidential dog, number one. But I think that Teddy is number one to me. Teddy, say goodbye to everybody at the Talkers Convention. Bye-bye, and thank you very, very much for coming.
Savage.
Well, that was on a DVD that we put together for the convention. I actually didn't do a live appearance because I don't travel. I hardly travel. But anyway, Teddy's sitting here under the broadcast desk. I can't say he's hanging on every word. In fact, he's sleeping. But during the break, he said, "Dad, don't worry. You're not banned from Poodle Land." Anyway, if you listen to that speech on freedom of speech, you realize what's at stake. By denying me, an American broadcaster with the third largest audience in radio history, entry into Britain, and smearing me and the U.S. government not helping me, with Rush keeping his fat mouth shut and Hannity, poor guy, doesn't even know what he should really believe in unless he's given a script. There's been no help in this story, truthfully, except from you, my listeners. And so therefore, I thank you for indulging me today, but I got kicked in the guts today just before going on the air. If you'd like to comment on any of this mess going on right now, you know the phone number. What shocks me today is that Obama's there with Cameron, and they compare themselves to Thatcher and Reagan, and they give a double talk speech about how they're going to fight for a democracy in the Arab world. How about democracy in America, Obama? How about democracy in England, Cameron? They don't believe a word they're saying. Don't you understand what politicians really are? We're not living in the age of true leaders. We're not living in the age of a system where you can believe in anybody. And that is why Congress is detested. That's why the presidency is detested. That's why the entire political structure is distrusted by the American people. Chicago, Larry, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Michael, you are the modern-day Churchill, and here's the thing. I think you're missing the point with this issue with England. The England that you love and that I love, the England of Churchill, is gone. It's the England of Londonistan now, and you're the voice who can stand up in Parliament amongst all of the sheep and speak the truth and expose not only the Islamism and the Islamists for what they are, but the phonies, the snakes in the grass in our government, just as Churchill.
Let me say this. I know that you're right for one reason. On one of my attempts to have my name removed, I flew to Florida and met with someone deeply connected to a member of Parliament, a very high-ranking conservative. You know what I was told behind the scenes? I was told that most members of Parliament live in fear of their lives from the Muslims in England. They are terrified of the Muslims. They're afraid of being killed. Did you know that?
More scared of the Muslims than they were.
Did you know that the members of Parliament live in fear of being whacked by the Muslims of England? Did you know that?
It's outrageous. We've given up our freedom to them, sir. We've given them up, and it's time to fight.
Well, how far away are we from the English thing when we have a Muslim in the presidency? Now you say, well, he's a practicing Christian. But he's sympathetic toward the Muslim. Look, he just stabbed the Jews in the back last week. Look at the uproar that caused. Look, I mean, it's logical. His father, his natural father was a Muslim, and his adopted father was a Muslim. Anybody who had two fathers who were practicing the Muslim faith and who grew up in a madrasas would be a Muslim. It doesn't matter whether he's espousing Christianity. So he's sympathetic toward the Muslim viewpoint.
Michael, don't give up. God bless you. Don't give up. Don't give up.
All right. To all of you out there who want to do something and don't know what to do, I'm not asking you for money. Go to michaelsavage.com. My petition is on the right side. Sign it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I think it's very telling that on a day that Obama is having dinner with the Queen of England or whoever's eating over there, that I receive a letter from the government of England minutes before the show refusing to lift the ban against Michael Savage. And that's why I'm talking about it. You know, I've been very constrained on this. I stopped talking about it. Many people think that the ban was lifted a long time ago. It is not. And you say, well, who cares about this anymore? You know what? Entertain us, clown. You know what I mean? Entertain us, clown. We don't care about you. Well, if it was just about me, I'll tell you the truth, I would have stopped it. But I think that the issue is much broader than me. Because if they can get away with it with Michael Savage, think what they can do to you. Just think about that. If they could take a man with the third largest radio show and smear him, and when I say they, I mean this government in cahoots with the British government, and if the fake conservative Cameron can get away with this, after lying to my lawyers and saying that they lift the ban, his Home Secretary said he would, a year before they were elected, think of what they can do to the average Brit who stands up to the Muslim terrorists or the EUers over there. Think about that. And think about what it means for you if you love this country. So at the risk of your pleasure now, I want to play a real treat, something that I love this speech. It's from Winston Churchill shortly after World War II was won and over. And he was running for office again. And he was trying to warn the people about what socialism would bring to England. You got to listen to these words. They're chillingly apt right now. Please play it.
No socialist system can be established without a political police. Many of those who are advocating socialism or voting socialist today will be horrified at this idea. That is because they are short-sighted. That is because they do not see where their theories are leading them. No socialist government conducting the entire life and industry of the country could afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some form of Gestapo. This would nip in the bud opinion at its forms. It would stop criticism at it reared its head. And it would gather all the power to the Supreme Party and the party leaders rising like stately pinnacles above their vast bureaucracies of civil servants. No longer servants and no longer civil.
This is like one of the greatest sound bites I could think of in my 16, 17 years in radio. I never heard anything as good as this, nor as important as this. He was trying to warn the British people not to buy the socialist lie, but they didn't listen to him. After he led them through the darkest days of British history, they abandoned him and they voted socialist because they wanted a free ride from the government. And now we see how prescient his words were. He said, no socialist state can survive without a police, I think he said, without a police enforcing that socialist state. And he said, the mark of a free society are sharply worded, even violent words. Did you hear any of that? Those of you who don't know what's at stake? Talk radio is actually the tip of the spear of freedom of speech in the United States of America. It's not the movies. The movies are produced and directed and written by liberals who espouse every platitude known to the left. Every platitude is acted out by Hollywood. Rarely do you ever see a movie to the contrary. When have you last seen a movie produced by Hollywood that truly explains what freedom of speech really means and what's at stake in the battle for our minds, and how governments like that of Obama and like that of Cameron are using mind control and the threats of the state to control the people? So I think that I've covered the waterfront thus far in these 2 hours thus far in the Savage Nation. And I really want to thank you for indulging me. I got kicked in the gut when I got this a minute before the show, 5 minutes before, because I had moral. I mean, the lawyers are working on this, but I never thought the letter would be this vicious. I never thought that this new upholding of the ban would be this maliciously, bureaucratically fascistic as it was. The wording of it is so malicious, it's incomprehensible. It is something you would expect from a Soviet state, which is what England has become. And so we see our wonderful leaders at a British state dinner tonight enjoying crayfish with butter, lamb and Windsor basil, and of course, in Michelle's honor, a big fatty ice cream dessert. And it was said many years ago, let them eat cake. In the words of Michelle Obama, let them eat carrot sticks while I dine on lamb and ice cream. 1-800-449-8255. You can do two things. You can read the British letter itself from the government with his name right on michaelsavage.com. The letter is up there. And right linked in that box, click here to sign Savage's petition. Okay, that's the problem. That's it. On Thursday, a U.S. senator is meeting with me by telephone to see what he can do to organize other senators to get my name off the list. Remember the big movement? 110 congressmen and senators signed a petition to remove Ramos and Campion. Remember the Border Patrol agents who were in prison for doing their job? Remember George Bush wouldn't pardon them? Your great hero, George Bush, let them rot in jail. Do you remember that? Those of you who are idiots enough to listen to Sean Hannity, the great American who wraps himself in the flag and kisses George Bush's pen every day, Bush kept them in jail. He would not release them. Bush threw many of our Marines into prison. He would not release them. So there's no difference at the end of the day between Republican or Democrat. And now you understand why I am banned in Britain. Tomorrow is another day. That's all I can say to you. There's another big hour here on the Savage Nation. But if you're tuning out now, remember this. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The only news today is that we just got news minutes ago that the government of Cameron, the fake conservative, who is kissing Obama's ring, has just said that Michael Savage is not welcome in England and that we will not permit him into England under any circumstances. Let me read you a letter. It comes to us from TSOL, Treasury Solicitors Department, and it is signed by a superb English gentleman who I never heard of by the name of Michael Atkins, for the Treasury Solicitor, someone who would have made Adolf Hitler or Mussolini very proud. And it's to my lawyers who have been representing me in England by the name of Allswangle, a major firm in London. Let me read this to you. May 24th, 2011. Dear Sir, your client Michael Savage. I write to further my letter of April 28th, 2011. I have now taken instructions from my client and can provide a substantive response to your request. You have asked that my client, that means the government, revokes the December 18th, 28 decision to exclude your client from the UK. Your client has been invited by the Birkenhead Society to participate in a debate at the National Liberal Club in London on a date yet to be confirmed, which he wishes to accept. Your client has offered to make a number of undertakings as to his conduct while he is in the UK, including an undertaking that he will abide by the law and refrain from making comments that could be offensive to members of minority communities. Can you believe this? He has stated that it is not his intention to foster or promote inter-community hatred or violence. Three, I'm reading to you from a letter just received from the corrupt Cameron government. Three, you have repeated a number of allegations that first made in the course of pre-action correspondence, in particular A, that the allegations made against Michael Savage were false, that his statements had been taken out of context and do not properly reflect the totality of his statements. See that the statements viewed were no more than robust expressions of opinion. D, that he has many homosexual friends and respects Islam as a great religion. E, that it was inappropriate to exclude him on the basis that this would provide balance. Four, you have also restated that it is your client's intention to publish a repudiatory statement on his website. Five, you have further stated that your client considers the SSHD has changed the requirements for repudiation by first asking for clear, convincing, and public evidence of your client's repudiation of his earlier unacceptable behavior. I have to pause right now and tell you this is right out of not only Kafka but Stalin, and then asking for that evidence to be demonstrated over a period of time. However, we, the government of England, do not see any inconsistency between those two statements. They do not contradict each other and are both consistent with the SSHD's need to see firm, clear, and convincing evidence that the previous statements have genuinely been repudiated and that the modified behavior is ongoing and being maintained over time. This is from the government of England. This is the government that permits terrorists and hides terrorists, Muslim terrorists, to hide there. This is unbelievable to me. Six, I won't read you that one. It's just boring. Seven, we note that your letter of 23rd of July 2010 states that if the ban is not lifted, our client will be obligated to appeal your decision. However, upon being told in our letter of 23rd of September 2010 that the ban would not be lifted, your client did not seek to make any legal challenge to the decision to exclude him. You'll be aware that no right of appeal exists against that decision and that you are now time-barred from bringing any judicial review proceedings against that decision. Eight, you have not provided any evidence at all that the position has changed on the facts. And they go on, blah, blah, blah. Nine, you have stated that to prevent your client's entry into the UK to participate in the proposed Birkenhead Society debate will infringe his rights under Article 10 of the Convention. We respectfully refer you to the case of NIAC. This case stated that Article 10 rights are not engaged in the cause of a claimant who is outside of the jurisdiction, and also that any interference with the Article 10 rights of persons in the UK who wish to attend is proportionate. Well, I don't even know what this means. We further note that your client is perfectly able to speak at any participate in the planned event via video link if he so chooses. 10. It follows that as nothing has changed on the facts, the SSHD does not see any reason to once again revisit her predecessor's lawful and reasonable decision to exclude your client from the UK, a decision to which she has already confirmed her agreement. We therefore respectfully decline your client's request to revoke his exclusion. For the avoidance of doubt, this letter does not constitute any fresh decision to exclude your client. That decision was made by the SSHD on December 18th, 28, and it remains in place. Your client has had an opportunity to challenge this decision. Despite being legally advised by yourselves, therefore, he can be said to be well aware of the time limits relating to judicial review. He declined to do so. We therefore consider that any effort to try and set aside the clear time limitations set out in CPR 54 on the basis that this letter is... I don't know what he's talking about. All they're saying is they do not want to permit me into England. They prefer to have Muslim terrorists who want to overthrow England. When I began a radio in 1994, people would call up and say, gee, I thought I was crazy until I heard you on the radio. I paved the way for all of the other guys who call themselves conservatives. It's okay. I don't need the thanks of all those who've come along. That's good. Rush came along before me. He did a very good job in the first few years, and then he became very middle of the road and very sort of a vanilla whitewash. And he still does a very good whitewash vanilla show, and that's good. There's a large audience for that. He is sort of the soft drink of talk radio, which has a very wide distribution and a very low profit margin. And I am the energy drink of talk radio with a much smaller audience, but a much bigger kick. Okay, let's put it to you that way. This is Michael Savage.
Savage.
Let's go to the callers. Ron in Houston. As I said, I get distracted easily. Ron, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. I had an interesting experience today in Humble, Texas, a famous oil town here in Texas. And I finally got them to admit that the book exists. And they just called me up today after 3 days and said it's there. But my son and I were talking this morning. He's just joined the French Foreign Legion. And I was telling him what's in
your book. Wow, he must be some tough customer. I didn't even know that he's an American citizen who joined the French Foreign Legion?
Yeah, well, if you knew his mother, my former wife, you know why he left his country and had to get away from her.
Hey, thanks for getting that one in.
Yeah, well, what happens is that he cannot believe these engagement rules. He told me today, and he's listening on the internet right now. It's 11:30 out there, and he said he was going to go to his girlfriend's house tonight, and he's going to he should be listening right now, so he should hear me. But the point is that he says that they are taught to shoot through the women to get the enemy. And if anybody's walking away who they think is involved in the battle, shoot them in the back.
Unbelievable. Well, that's why we're still in Iraq and still in Afghanistan. It's because the rules of engagement were written by a bunch of idiots who have made certain that the wars never end in order to make certain that the American taxpayer is built for as many trillions as possible in contracting dollars. There's no other reason for them. No other reason but to keep the war going for the war machine.
Right, but he's been training the last 2 weeks in street fighting. And they were in a mock-up of Afghanistan, and
yeah.
He says that the bottom line is that they're being trained somewhat like the Navy SEALs. This is what they've been told by their commanders, and he told his commanders about your book, and they want to see it. So I'm going to send him one as soon as I get my hands on it, and so he can read it to his commanders. They don't believe what's going
on.
Well,
nobody can believe the rules of engagement that are uncovered and exposed in my book. And by the way, I know this is Woodward's book has beaten mine last week. That book has nothing in it that anyone needs to read. Let me go right head on head with these two other books. My book is the only book that really exposes anything about the Obama administration that is worth knowing. The rest is nothing but media hype. And you need to get the book. And I'm sending you three copies, one for you and two for the men over there. By the way, before you go, how is it that an American can join the French Foreign Legion? Is that allowed, I guess?
Well, he's got two passports, American and English. He was born in France, but any American can join. Because
wait, so that means your ex-wife was French?
Yeah.
And you should have said that when you said your ex-wife. You should have said my ex-French wife, his French mother. That would have said everything.
I'm sending her a copy of Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. I found it.
Well, wait a minute. I have a sequel coming out, which is Gold Diggers Anonymous.
But guess what? The guy in the bookstore, this is a used bookstore, you know, that had your books in it, too. He's got a green beard. And I was in there, and I pointed, and I said, look at that. Just like Michael Savage says, you got a green beard. And then I look at the girl behind the counter. I says, look at that. You got green eyes. I says, Michael Savage predicted you'd be here today.
Hey, is a green beard normal in Texas at this time of year?
I neglected to ask him why, but, you know, it's got something to do with the greenies.
Well, I guess it's got something to do with the time of year in Texas and the amount of toe juice that they're drinking. I understand that toxic toe juice in small portions produces a certain kind of psychedelic high and it turns your beard green. I don't know.
Could be. I don't know. But, you know, think about
it. Well, look, good luck with your son and... send us a body count of how many he kills over there. I got to tell you a funny story. War is about killing the enemy, you know. It's not about serving them hot and ready meals. You know that.
Yeah.
And the day you start teaching our men to worry more about the enemy's rights and the enemy's state of mind, that we're finished as a nation. I got to tell you something. Every ex-combat soldier that I've run into tells me the same story over and over again, that all of them were sent over there to act as cannon fodder for one administration after another. None of them were sent over there to kill. And when they do their job, they're held up on charges.
Yeah, well, they got a saying in French. Translated in English, it goes like this. Teach them a lesson they'll remember for as long as they live. Kill them.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I took a young man in who was a former combat veteran into a restaurant, a friend of mine, a couple of months ago, owned by an Italian man. And the minute I introduced him, I said, this is my friend and just came back from Iraq recently. And the minute this Italian man met him, he said, how many did you kill? He said it with joy. I mean, isn't that what he went over there for? He didn't go over there to serve him hot and ready a falafel, did he?
Oh, he's ready. I tell you, it's unbelievable. His training is you know, really intense stuff. Out of a class of something like 50 people, there were only 7 or 8 that made it through and got accepted into the French Foreign Legion.
Well, how'd your son turn out so tough with a French mother?
Because of her.
What do you mean? You mean he had to learn how to be tough to live with her? Is that it?
Well, if you knew her, okay, you'd be leaving. Basically, you'd be a combatant, okay? Because at three different times, I had to pull a knife out of my body with her, okay?
Oh, wait, this is getting interesting. You mean she became physical to that level?
Oh, yeah. She stabbed me once in Paris. She stabbed me once when we used to live in Florida. And there were numerous threats. And on one occasion, she tried to drown my son in 1999, and I happened on the scene and saved his life. And she held his head underwater for well over a minute. And then when she saw me, she released him, and he come up and he said, "Mommy tried to drown me. Mommy tried to drown me." And she
She was just training him for the French Foreign Legion. She was giving him early training.
Yeah, you know she do. I'm trying to teach him a lesson.
Or she was teaching him how to survive waterboarding.
Yeah, she's psychotic is what she is.
No, she sounds like she belongs in a mental hospital, or at least working for the Obama administration, one or the other.
Well, she's an airline, so she thinks she's wonderful.
Oh, she's an airline flight attendant. What if you say the wrong thing to her on the plane? I can just imagine that one.
Oh, she's got a lot of people to lose their jobs already. She's written people up and knocked them off and lost their careers. She's a real wonder.
Was she good looking to go with it? Is that how you got seduced?
Oh, absolutely gorgeous. And one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. And this girl would knock you out. She walked away. She was offered a job by a friend of mine in Hollywood to do Elizabeth Taylor look-alike movie, okay? And she walked away from it. That's how beautiful this girl is.
And how did you meet her?
Paris Air Show, 1999, rather.
Are you a former pilot, Ron?
Yeah, sure am, yep.
Are you a former Marine pilot or U.S. Air Force or what?
Strictly civilian and commercial aviation.
But you were at an air show. You run into her. She was there. What? Just trying to meet rich guys who were buying planes?
No, she was working there and just intermingled and happened to meet her and brought her to America. Took her to Broadway. Showed her how American life is like. You know, took her to Phantom of the Opera. You know, and showed her to, you know, the Lincoln Arts Center. She's very
so impressed. She swept you off your feet right off the bat.
Yeah, essentially she sure did. I mean, it's, you know, a chick like this will blow a man away. She had everything going. She could go.
But I mean, truthfully, let's be clear. We're both adults. There's not, did you sleep with her the first night?
Hell no. No, I played it really American-like, you know, Puritan American, more or less, you know. Yeah, she appreciated that.
Oh, so that, so you're both, you were, it's almost like Prezi's Honor. You're both playing each other. No, you know what I'm saying? You were both like a spy, counter spy. You were playing the American gentleman when you really aren't. And she was playing the lady by, and by what you're telling me, maybe she really isn't.
No, but you know, the problem is that her psychosis began to develop later on, and I found out a lot about her childhood. And of course, she was not abused sexually, but she was abused physically by her father, brutal French, you know, and beat over the head with brooms and sticks and stuff like that. So, she
oh my God, was she raised in a nunnery?
Yeah, well, no, she joined a boys' gang to go beat up on other boys when she was a teenager.
Now I'm starting to think you're embroidering. You're calling me from a madhouse in Houston. Now you're making this up.
No, this is true. This is true.
She beat up guys with broomsticks?
No, her father used to beat her up, but she had this mean attitude. So she joined a boys' gang, and they used to beat up on other kids every now and then.
Wow, really, my God.
Well, I may need it.
All right, you're a good sport. This has been good as Groucho Marx. What I'd like to do is send you three copies of Trickle Up Poverty. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Kenneth Timmerman is an investigative reporter. He's unearthed incredible evidence proving that Iran was involved in the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center. Did you hear this? Iran. Now he's here today on the Savage Nation to tell us about the lawsuit that's been filed by families of 9/11 victims against Iran. Kenneth, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael, for having me on.
So what is the actual evidence linking Iran to the September 11th attacks?
Well, it's pretty extensive, and it begins actually in the 9/11 Commission report, which came out in July of 2004, but which was pretty widely neglected at the time it came out. One of the stories that I discovered investigating this early on was the amount of information from the U.S. intelligence community that was hidden from the 9/11 Commission. At the end of their investigation, 1 week before they sent the report to the printers in July of 2004, the staff directors sent some of their people into this huge warehouse where they had all of the classified documents had received from the CIA, the NSA, all of the alphabet soup of U.S. intelligence agencies, just to make sure they didn't miss anything. And lo and behold, as they got to the last stack and the last box and the last document at the very bottom of that last box, they said, oops, this is really important. And they found a six-page intelligence analysis issued by one of the agencies that referred to 75 highly classified intercepts and other documents that detailed Iran's assistance to the al-Qaeda hijackers, 8 to 10 of the hijackers who commandeered the planes on September 11th. And it turns out that they knew at that time, they had identified these people on airplanes flying into Iran and out of Iran, and they discovered that they'd been convoyed by senior Hezbollah operatives, and in particular by a guy named Imad Mugniyeh. And that's significant because Imad Mugniyeh is an Iranian government agent. So it starts in the 9/11 Commission report. We learn that Iran was directly involved in facilitating the travel of the 9/11 hijackers. If they had not been able to go into Iran and out of Iran on their way to Afghanistan without getting stamps on their passports, they never would have been able to come to the United States to carry out the attacks.
Why is this only coming out now?
Well, it's coming out now, Michael, because the lawyers who represent some of the 9/11 victims' families have conducted a seven-year-long investigation. I was the lead investigator they brought in to look into this stuff, and it has taken an awfully long time to get the witnesses together. We tried at one point to get the U.S. government to cooperate. The 9/11 Commission report says at the end of this very brief section on Iran's involvement, they say this matter requires further investigation by the U.S. government. But we've never seen any further investigation by the U.S. government. So we then submitted a series of Freedom of Information Act requests to get access to some of those documents that the 9/11 Commission saw at the very end. They were all denied. So barring any help from the U.S. government to get at the bottom of Iran's help, Iran's assistance, Iran's direct involvement in 9/11, we had to conduct our own investigation, and it just took time.
What are the families of the 9/11 victims seeking?
Well, I think, first of all, Michael, they're looking for closure. They want to know the full truth of what happened to their loved ones on 9/11. The 9/11 Commission told them an awful lot. You know, they learned how Al-Qaeda actually did it in you know, some of the details, how they commandeered the planes, what went on in the planes. They learned gruesome details about that day, but they did not learn the full truth. They did not learn the truth of who helped Al-Qaeda to actually put together the plan and carry it out. And that's what they are. That's what they commissioned the lawyers to do. That's what the lawyers commissioned me to do, was to try to get at the whole truth behind the attacks. Now, beyond that, obviously, a court in New York will eventually award some kind of damages. Will they ever collect on those damages from the government of Iran? Difficult, hard to see.
Well, what else don't we know about the 9/11 attacks?
There's an awful lot that we've brought out, and Michael, there's going to be even more coming out in the coming weeks, because we've had to file some of the evidence in the case under seal. Now, that means they have not been made public at this time, and the reason for that is that three of our witnesses are former Iranian government intelligence operatives who each had access to a piece of the 9/11 plot, two of them before it happened, before the attacks, and the third one after the attacks. And we are worried about their security, and we want to take certain measures to try to protect them before we unseal all of that evidence. But when that becomes public, I think people are going to be absolutely shocked. There will be calls, you know, from the American people for our government to get tough and to get serious about the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Do you think Iran is still sheltering terrorists? I certainly believe so.
Yeah, not only is Iran still sheltering terrorists, Michael, they are actively working with al-Qaeda in the preparation of attacks against the United States. We know, for example, that up until mid-2009, Saad bin Laden, the eldest son of the now-defunct leader of al-Qaeda, was still in Iran being sheltered by the regime. Saif al-Adl, who's now the new leader of al-Qaeda, he has been sheltered in Iran for almost the past 10 years. When I say sheltered, I mean not just put in a house and given three square meal a day. I mean he's been getting assistance from the Quds Force of the Revolutionary Guards. This is the Overseas Expeditionary Force, the terrorism central, if you wish, of the Iranian regime. He's been getting money. He's been getting communications assistance, travel assistance, fresh passports, the whole work. So Iran has a joint venture, if you wish, with al-Qaeda, and I don't see that shutting down anytime in the near future.
And why hasn't the Obama administration done anything about this?
Well, let me be fair about this, Michael. It's not just the Obama administration. It's also the Bush administration, because they knew, the U.S. government knew as of July of 2004, when the 9/11 Commission report came out, they knew that Iran was involved in these attacks, and they did not want the information to come out. I believe one of the reasons is that the Central Intelligence Agency had some information before the attacks took place, and they blew it. They didn't follow through on the information, and I think that they were seriously embarrassed at the very highest levels of the organization. I don't think it was a conspiracy. I don't think it was a cover-up that led to the political leadership, but I think there were a group of officers who felt that if more information on Iran's involvement and what the U.S. knew about it in the 9/11 attacks came out, that they would look very, very bad. It's called CYA in Washington parlance.
I don't really believe this can lead to a war with Iran. I think that Iran owns this government.
Well, that may have been also a fear, because remember in 2003, 2004, when the Democrats were going after President Bush and saying Bush lied, people died in Iraq, They were also trying to prevent any kind of information from becoming public that might be used by George W. Bush and people in his administration as an excuse for launching an attack on Iran. So that may have been part of the reason they didn't want to bring this information out as well.
Will the families of 9/11 victims find peace if Iran is held responsible? I doubt that.
I think from our dealings with the family members, they will find a certain closure. You can never bring back your loved one.
Kenneth Timmerman, thanks for coming on the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's always a pleasure. And for any of our listeners who are interested, you can find links to the documents in the court case at my website, kentimmerman.com, and that will take you to where all of the information on this lawsuit against Iran is located, kentimmerman.com. Thank you.
Savage.
Now let's go on to something more interesting. I want to cover some Hebrew literature in English. Just listen for a minute and tell me if you disagree with this. Rabbi Bendoza said, anyone whose fear of sin comes before his wisdom will endure. But anyone whose wisdom comes before his fear of sin, his wisdom will not endure. Now, I could spend an hour talking about that. I could learn from it myself. It taught me something just now when I read it. So I'll read it again, okay, because you never hear this stuff. Unless you're a very religious person who reads this and hears about it in a formal setting, you will not hear it. Anyone whose fear of sin comes before his wisdom will endure. But anyone whose wisdom comes before his fear of sin, his wisdom will not endure. So now let's play Mayor Bloomberg talking about a mosque and a porno shop in the same breath. Play it.
Whether you like a mosque or don't like a mosque, you don't have to go. There's already another mosque down there within four blocks of the World Trade Center. There's porno places. There's fast food places. I mean, it's a vibrant community. It's New York.
So he is the fool, according to Hebrew scripture itself. Anyone whose fear of sin comes before his wisdom will endure. Obviously, he has no fear of sin. He's Mayor Bloomberg. He fears nothing. But anyone whose wisdom, he has the wisdom with the way of making money, comes before his fear of sin, his wisdom will not endure. So I can tell you right now, at the end of his days, he's going to be seen as a laughingstock. Did you hear what I just said? At the end of his days, and he should live to the age of Moses, he will be seen as a laughingstock who went out on a limb and made himself into the biggest fool of all time. You also look at a thing like this. Pray for the welfare of the government. Pray for the welfare of the government that is taught. For were it not for the fear of it, men would swallow one another alive. That's an interesting statement. That's from a holy book in the Jewish tradition. It's taught in the prayer book. The Jewish people pray for the welfare of the government. For were it not for the fear of it, men would swallow one another alive. Now, would you expect to hear that from Michael Savage? Well, maybe you don't know what to expect from me. That's good. That's very good. Keep listening, because what you're about to hear may help you. Another rabbi wrote, who is wise? He who learns from every person. Did you hear that? Who is wise? He who learns from every person. So I was the kind of young man who wherever I went, I would meet people. They could be a bum. Sometimes I would talk to a bum in the street and I'd learn something. I think I once met either a reincarnation of Moses or God himself on this earth. I told the story only once in my 16 years on the radio. I'll tell it again. It's very simple. I was in North Beach, San Francisco, and there was an old man with a white beard and white hair. Okay, you talk about symbolism and obvious symbolism. And he had a rucksack. He was not really filthy, but he was not dressed like a middle-class person in any way. But he was not disheveled like a bum. And I stopped him, and we got to talk. I looked in his deep, penetrating blue eyes, and I remember I came down to this. I said to him, what is your name? He said, my name is Moshe, which means Moses. So I said to him, do you believe in God? And he turned and looked really searingly into me. And he said, why, do you think I created myself? And that was the end of the statement. One statement. Always the simplest answer sometimes cuts right through you. That's the end of the whole thing. Don't tell me about National Geographic with the comets and the proof that that you came from a bug and a piece of... Please, don't give me that rubbish. That's a theory. That's scientific theory. And you're talking to a very educated scientist. Please, don't count now on a comedian on television to tell you that I don't know what I'm talking about. He does. The genius who went to the High School of Performing Art and smoked dope since he's 4 years old. It's a scientific theory like any other about all of the rest of it. So he said to me, did I create myself? So I gave him a ride. I said, can I drop you off somewhere? I remember I had an old Volkswagen at the time, I think, or a Volvo. I don't know what it was. Yes, he said, I'm going south. So I took him to a freeway underpass. He got off. He got onto the freeway overpass, you know, the on-ramp. And he waved goodbye, and that was the end of it. He disappeared into the night. Now, I never saw him again. What does it mean? Just a stranger in the night. It means nothing. It means nothing. But I learned from him. Who is wise, he who learns from every person. I remember when I was very young, I once met a preacher in the streets of New York in Lower Manhattan. And he was one of these really great street preachers, white guy, a real holy roller. I think he was a Baptist. And I was taken in by this man's incredible voice and his passion. And again, we started to talk. And I said to him, can I give you a ride? That's right. Then I had the Volkswagen, the green Volkswagen. And he said, sure, take me uptown. I'm going to Harlem. I'm going to my church in Harlem. It's an all-black church. And I don't know whether he was the pastor. I don't think so. I think he was a member. I walked into that place, and I saw the Holy Spirit. I saw the Spirit. I felt it the same way I felt it in St. Patrick's Cathedral on Christmas Eve, the same way I have felt it at 777 Eastern Parkway in New York when 5,000 black-clad Jewish men met the Sabbath. I have felt it the same way inside a straw hut in a Fijian village one dark night as we sat around drinking kava until the latest time of until all hours of the night, and the men were chanting, and I became one of the men. The men became one with me. I felt it many times. Feel the Holy Spirit. It's there. Maybe this is too preachy for you. I don't really know. But sometimes you got to let it all out. You got to let the genie out of the bottle. After all, people say, how the heck do you do this every day? What motivates you? Why do you get up and do it? I don't have a direct answer for you other than the Spirit must be heard, and then you decide from yourself what the Spirit that you just heard told you. Now, finally, before I conclude this little sanctimonious segment of the radio show today, I want to read you something that is very important because not all religions are equal. I know Mayor Bloomberg thinks that pornography shops are equal to some religions, and doesn't even understand he's insulting the very people he claims to be helping. That shows you the intelligence level of this man who fears nothing because his ego is so vast. I want to read you from the Jewish holy book on a wife of excellence where a woman is glorified. Many of you don't understand that the religious teachings of Jews glorifies the wife. You don't know that because the haters on the left who hate religion would have you believe that the first of the monotheistic religions, which is Judaism, there are others that followed, the first of the monotheistic religions, Judaism, taught to respect the wife and the woman. And so every week the man reads, who can find a wife of excellence? Her value far exceeds that of gems. The heart of her husband trusts in her, for he lacks no gain. She treats him with goodness, never with evil, all the days of her life. She seeks out wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is still night, gives food to her household and sets out the tasks for her maids. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and flexes her arms. And it goes on. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She watches the conduct of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise and acclaim her, her husband, and he praises her. Many daughters have done worthily, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is naught. A God-fearing woman is the one to be praised. Give her praise for her accomplishments and let her deeds laud her at the gates. Now, compare that to Jersey Shore. Compare that to the skanks whose faces are a total reflection of the Dorian grayness within. The skanks say it all. The face of the skank says it all. Take a look at our society and what it glorifies. The skank, the falling over drunken skank, is held up as a role model. Now compare it to what is taught in the holy books to very religious Jews who read this every day or every week to glorify the wife and the woman. And now compare that to the psychopaths on the left who, when they say, I'm a Jew, and I'm a socialist, and I'm a lesbian, and I'm for the mosque, don't even know what they just said. They haven't any idea what they just said. And these are the people who hate the patriarchy. They hate the very religion that gave them their sustenance. And they hate it. They don't even know what they hate because their brains were warped at a very young age in the colleges, in the hate literature, the deconstructionist hate literature that said everything religious was bad. And now suddenly they're embracing Islam, which does not respect women at all. Although, maybe I am wrong. Maybe I don't know as much about the religion as Maya Bloomberg does. Can anyone listening to this show who is a Muslim or a comparative religion scholar call this show and read to me a passage in the Quran which glorifies women? I'd like to know of it if it does exist.
Savage.